Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, across the table from us today is Jeremy Winkler. He has been with the city for 11 years. Hard to believe that. He's the Director of Governmental Affairs, and we're going to talk to him today about something we all see throughout the day called MyRide, which is running a few little issues here, not because anything the city did, but because of the world that we live in. So, Jeremy, I always like to start off by getting everybody to give us a little background about who they are. And they haven't talked to you in such a long time. We want you to tell them.
Sure. Thanks, Manning. Appreciate it. I'm Jeremy Winkler. I'm the Director of Government Affairs for the City of Rock Hill. As you mentioned, been with the city 11 years. Before that, I worked in Washington, D.C. for 8 years doing legislative affairs, and now I do that same sort of work for the city, working with our folks in Columbia and D.C. to be sure that city interests are being looked after and trying to find funding. And MyRide is heavily funded through the federal government, and so that's how I came to be involved with MyRide Rock Hill when it kicked off back in 2019. So that's why I'm involved with MyRide.
So in your job as a Director of Governmental Affairs, you're looking at, I mean, you're involved with anything that involves state government or federal government in terms of the city of Rock Hill?
Yes, I try to keep track on it. It's a big job. Of course, all the other directors across the city are looking out as well, but I work closely with Senator Graham, Senator Scott's staff, Congressman Norman's staff, both locally here and in Washington, you know, letting them know things that they could do to help us and things that they're thinking about doing that might hurt us. And the same thing with our legislative delegation down in Columbia. All of those folks are very responsive and work closely with us, you know, just letting them know what's going on, what we need from them, and then in return what they might need from us, information and different things like that, and so, getting funding as well.
I was going to say, when you look at funding on an average year, what would you say comes in from the state and the Fed in terms of the efforts you're putting forth?
Sure. So I also oversee our grants division at the City of Rock Hill. We have six people who are grant writers.
Wow.
So most of our federal funding comes from grants, and they manage anywhere. It differs from year to year based on which grants we get that year. On average, I would say $20 to $30 million a year in federal grants come, in some state, mostly federal, come to the City of Rock Hill. And we're very proud of the work that they do, because what that does is it allows us to do projects that might not have otherwise gotten done or might have taken a longer time to get done, to do them more quickly. So a lot of the upgrades you see going on at our parks facilities, on trails, sidewalks, things like that. We get funding for apparatus for our fire department, all sorts of things. The new park that's coming over on the south side of town, the regional park, we got a $10 million grant for that. So a lot of money is coming from the grants division. And, you know, there really aren't earmarks anymore in Congress. Every now and then they pass some of those, but most of the money comes from grants these days.
Plus, you got a big grant here recently for the new overhead bridge.
That's right. $10 million for the bridge over Dave Lyle and the railroad in downtown. Yep.
Wow. Woo-hoo. So if we didn't have those grants, we would be hard-pressed to see the stuff we have right now.
That's right. Or taxes would go up in order to pay for those things.
That's amazing. Okay, so here we are with MyRide. Now, for those who are new to our community, MyRide hadn't been here that long.
That's right.
It's been here.
We started our first day of service in July of 2019.
July of 2019. So how did that all come about? I mean, Rock Hill had existed for 100 plus years before we had mass transit.
Absolutely, yeah. So back in the 80s, the city tried some transit and contracted it out, and it didn't go over very well. And then in the 90s, early 2000s, we started partnering with York County Access, which we still do today, to do a dial-a-ride service. So, you know, sort of have to schedule it ahead of time.
Right.
And then we also partner with CATS to bring their 82X bus into downtown. But those things were federally funded, and what the mayor and council realized at the time was we were sending a good bit of federal money back to the federal government every year. We were getting around $1 million appropriated to us every year, and we were only using about 200,000-ish of that every year. And the mayor and council said, well, why are we sending this money back? Could we use it to the betterment of the people of Rock Hill? And so started looking into this idea of a transit system. And so we were able to cobble together enough federal money to purchase our 7 original buses and launch My Ride in 2019 with our 4 routes that we started back then.
And I remember the discussion that went on about, you know, what kind of buses do we want to have? Do we want the traditional gasoline bus? I don't think anybody wanted that because black smoke all over the place.
Right.
And Rock Hill is an electric city.
Correct.
So it made perfect sense to use what we already produce, which is electricity.
Exactly. Yep.
And you found a vendor.
Right. So Proterra was the leading electric bus manufacturer at the time. And their East Coast headquarters and manufacturing plant were in Greenville, South Carolina, right off I-85. Very, very close. I mean, about an hour and 20-minute drive from here. We went and toured the factory. We also toured in Seneca, South Carolina. They were an early adopter of Proterra and had some Proterra vehicles. And we were very impressed with what they were doing. And you're exactly right. The city of Rock Hill is an electric city. And so what appealed to us was the electricity that we were buying from ourselves is also cleanly generated. It's almost 100 all nuclear, right. Nuclear generated. So these were clean electric powered buses that were fueled by electricity that was generated in a clean way as well. And so it made perfect sense to us to purchase those Proterra vehicles. They were funded 85% by the federal government, and the city had to come up with 15% match. Each bus is about $1 million when you add in the charger and other equipment that, you know, you had to purchase to make them operate.
So you had 7 buses, and I guess on any one day you'd have 4 or 5 of them working and the other 2 getting charged up, or how does that work?
Correct, yes. So originally we would have 5 or 6 out operating and 1 or 2, you know, either taking a rest, getting maintenance done, those sort of things. We always had to swap out in the middle of the day. These buses would not run all day on a single charge. We would have to swap them out because we had a 12-hour-a-day service. They were only able to run about 6 or 7 hours. We probably could have run them a little bit longer, but the one thing you don't want to do is have a bus go to 0 battery when you're in the middle of Cherry Road. So we would always bring them back to our operations center on Anderson Road to charge when they were about 20 or 30% of their battery left.
So when they built the operations center, you had space big enough to handle buses?
We had space big enough. It was being utilized by other departments in the city, water and sewer and electric, to park their vehicles. So they vacated 7 spots out in the carport area, in the fleet area for us. And that's where we installed the chargers. And they weren't too happy about doing that, but we're all team players at the city. So, you know, they did move for us.
So how do you go about, just out of curiosity, how do you go about charging a bus like that?
The exact same way you charge any electric car, Tesla.
Plug it in?
Plug it in, yep. And it's now on the other side of the plug, the infrastructure is much more robust, right? That's getting a lot more charge all at once. You know, it's a 60-kilowatt charger, a lot of electricity coming in there. But if you looked at the actual charger that plugs in the bus, it looks exactly like what you'd see on any electric car charger sitting around town today.
It takes what? How many hours to charge one of those things?
From 20 or 30% up to 100%, you know, could be anywhere from 4 to 6 hours.
Okay.
Yep.
So the other thing that I thought was really smart is when you design the system, you did not want to involve money. You wanted this to be a free system.
Correct.
And a lot of good reasons for that. I mean, it avoids anybody wanting to rob the bus driver.
Right.
It avoided all the accounting issues, counting at the end of each shift, all that kind of stuff. So the decision was made, we're going to make this free, and it's worked very well.
Right, it has. And the other reason that council and mayor decided to make it free was to entice people to ride. You know, transit is a very new thing to Rock Hill. In the South in general, you know, a lot of people have not taken transit. When we first started out, we would have Winthrop students who, you know, we would literally have to talk through the process of, you know, and people as well. You know, you have to stand at the sign. You have to wait. The biggest issue was when we first started, People would get on the bus and not realize that they had to push the stop request bar to get off. So, you know, so note for all the listeners out there, if you want to, if you're on the bus and want to get off, you have to push the stop request button in order to get off. So, but yeah, free service was very important to entice people to choose to ride. It's also for people who are visiting Rock Hill, coming to all of our sporting events, coming to town for different things. You know, that way they don't have to worry about, do I have change? Do I need to buy a pass? Do I have to download an app? Absolutely not. You just hop on. It's free.
Then you went about establishing the routes, which I always thought was a real interesting process. How do we do this thing so we can maximize the greatest impact by having these buses out there? And you went through a lengthy process.
Absolutely.
Did you do that in-house, or did you get somebody to help you with that?
A little bit of both. We had some help from an outside survey, which showed us where zero car households were. So we looked at a map and saw there's a high concentration of zero car households in the Saluda Road corridor down on that side of town, Saluda Street. And so we knew we needed to take a bus route down that way. And then it was, what sort of service do we want to have? What sort of services do we want people to be able to access? And that was things like grocery stores, medical care, our colleges and universities in town, you know, our amateur sports facilities, places that people who are visiting us might want to go, and places where people were going anyway. And so we drew the lines in that way.
Was there any consideration given when you set up the stops, once you had the routes, that we want to set these up in such a way that we have an average, whatever, 10 minutes or 15 minutes or 20 minutes between the cycle of the next bus coming through, so people don't have to stand there forever?
Right. So our headway, that's what you call that, is an hour. And that's probably a little bit longer than the industry average, but with our small system and our budget constraints, you know, the issue with that is if you want to cut that down to 30 minutes, you have to double the number of buses and double the number of operators that you have. And we just didn't have the budget to do that. So most of that was actually dictated by the amount of vehicles that we had and the amount of staff that we had available.
But to make that more palatable, you developed an app.
Correct.
Where people would know exactly when that doggone thing, where it is and where it's coming.
Exactly. Yep. The app tracks the buses in real time, lets you know what stop is closest to you, lets you know how full the bus is. It can alert you if it's running late to your stop. We can push out alerts to the app as well, and we do that as well on social media and the website myriderockhill.com as well. But yes, the focus was on making MyRide as user-friendly as possible. The buses have Wi-Fi on board.
Oh, yeah.
There are infotainment screens, so you always know where what the upcoming stop is. You see some advertisement from some of our partners on there. There's announcements, all those sorts of things.
Plus, even have bike racks on the front.
Absolutely. Every bus can hold two or three buses or bikes on the front. Yep.
Interesting. So we're off and running. What are the ridership numbers? What have we seen in terms of growth and usage?
Absolutely. So, you know, we started in July of 2019 with very strong numbers. And then 2020 rolled around. And like everything else, the pandemic greatly affected transit. We tried to limit the number of riders on our vehicles to make everyone safe, you know, space out a little bit, even though it's very hard to do on an enclosed bus. We're also looking out for the safety of our operators, right? Yeah. Because they were, you know, out there as well. And so our ridership took a big dip. This past fiscal year, we had 290,000 passenger trips on MyRide. Now, keep in mind, that's not 290,000 people, because if you, Manning Kimmel, took the bus from here at Winthrop University down to Riverwalk and got off, that's one passenger trip.
Right.
And when you got back on and came back here to Winthrop University, that's another passenger trip. So you're one person, but you took two trips.
Well, what happens if I transfer buses?
That would be counted as another trip as well.
Okay.
And the reason is because we don't have fare cards in order to track individuals. We have a little, what's called an automatic passenger counter above the door. It's a little eye in the sky, and it clicks when you get on and off the bus, and all it does is count people who are getting off and on. And so that's how we know exactly how many people are getting off and on at each of our different stops. We just don't know that it was you, Manning, that got on here at the stop at Winthrop, and you, Manning, that got off at Riverwalk.
So the bus system, in round numbers, is What's the budget for that thing?
Around $2 million a year is our operating budget.
$2 million per year?
Yes.
And Uncle Sam is helping out roughly how much of that?
50% of our operating costs, so $1 million a year is covered by the federal government.
So the rest of it has to come from the city's budget or grants or whatever.
Right. So the about 25% of the budget comes from the city general fund, and then the other 25% comes from our partners. And our partners are great: Family Trust, Federal Credit Union, Comporium, York Technical College, and Piedmont Medical Center are our partners. And we really could not do this without them. That they're great members of the community and really see the benefit of helping people get around Rock Hill. And we thank them for their continued support.
Yeah, that's a chunk of money. I mean,
yeah,
that's like $500,000.
We do get some funding from the state as well, but the majority comes from the city and our partners.
And that's enough to cover, you know, your salaries, the maintenance of the buses. I don't know whether you charge yourself for electricity or not. I don't know how that works.
We do. Yeah. Yep.
So it covers all that.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, we're going to have to take a mid-program break, which is perfect timing because we've kind of run into a problem, which is called we can't get parts to fix the buses.
Right.
All right. And we are listening, of course, to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Okay, we do this thing at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, which you can participate in. See these white letters? We know what they say. That's how they do what they do here at Substation 2. And we're going to bellow it out together at the count of three. Are we all ready there? One, two, three.
Slice, 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 slice. Garden, garden, garden.
You were too quiet. Get you next time. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
What's hot at Substation 2? The new hot beef brisket sandwich. Brisket is smoked tender beef sliced to order, served hot and delicious, and gardened your way. This is a limited time offer, so titillate your taste buds today with a hot beef brisket sandwich at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Dr. Carrie Watson, the trauma medical director at Piedmont Medical Center, says she's very proud of what's being accomplished at Piedmont.
We are able to do robotic surgery. We are a robotic center of excellence, and that's robotic surgery for general surgery like gallbladders, hernias, colon. We also have robotic urology, so that's things like kidney removals and things with your bladder. We also have robotic neurosurgery that we're doing, and that's pretty amazing. Not a lot of places have that.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Love our subs? Want to find the fastest way to get here? Just say, hey Siri, take me to Substation 2 in Rock Hill.
Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, and it gets 4 stars on Yelp.
Even faster, order online at mysubstationii.com. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Jeremy Winkler is with us. He is the Director of Government Affairs for the City of Rock Hill, which encompasses a whole bunch of stuff, including the MyRide bus system. All right, everything's just going along swimmingly. Everything's fine. The buses are running great. And then out of nowhere, the Proterra is no longer in business.
That's right. In late 2023, they declared bankruptcy, which was not a good thing for us. You know, to back up just a second and tell you how great things were going before their bankruptcy. You know, I mentioned they're so close in Greenville.
Yeah.
Our fleet maintenance guys at the City of Rock Hill do an excellent job keeping our buses running and all the other city equipment running. But, you know, they would have a problem. They would pick up the phone, call Proterra, say, we need a part. If we needed it right away, Proterra in Greenville would put a guy in a car and drive it up here. That's how great the service was. And honestly, that's one of the reasons the city went with Proterra. Well, fast forward, late 2023, they filed for bankruptcy. And suddenly, you know, our calls become less and less answered. They start when the company goes through the bankruptcy sale, the company that purchased them starts laying people off. And we're making calls saying we need parts, and they're saying we don't have any parts. And so we call the maker of those parts. The issue with Proterra vehicles is a lot of their stuff was proprietary, and they had contracts with their suppliers. And a lot of those contracts survived the bankruptcy. So we'll call a supplier and they'll say, yeah, we've got them here, but we can't sell them to you. We have to sell them to Phoenix, who's the company that bought Proterra out of bankruptcy. And Phoenix has been really, I would say, less than helpful to work with. Calls go unanswered. We can't find parts. And they still owe some of the vendors a lot of money. So we have a big issue with parts. We would be able to fix our vehicles if it weren't for parts. So we have 10 Proterra vehicles now. We had the original 7 that we put into service in 2019. In 2021, we got a grant to buy 3 more to just augment our fleet and keep everything going. And then the bankruptcy in 2023. By October of last year, our fleet availability, which means were the buses able to go into service on the day we needed them, was down to 74%. By January, we were down to 50%. By February, we were down to 25%. So that means on any given day, only 3 of our 10 vehicles were able to be put into service. And what that translates to is unreliability for our passengers. And, you know, for folks that are utilizing my ride to get to work, if that bus doesn't come that morning, they're going to be late to work or maybe not make it at all. And that's not good for our folks. But so the issue with parts has been a major problem that we've tried very hard to overcome.
So I know the city of Rock Hill is a pretty smart bunch of people down there. Any way that you could deal with whoever this new company is and say, look, why don't you sell us whatever it is, the proprietary rights, so we can deal with the vendors and get the doggone parts we need?
Right. The issue is the city of Rock Hill aren't the only people that have Proterra buses. There are folks all over the country that have them, and there are folks that have more than us. The issue is that's all that we have is Proterra. I am in contact with folks from all over the country that have Proterra vehicles to try to see if we can get some movement on those sorts of things. There are folks that have bought Proterra, used Proterra vehicles out of auctions and have started to work to reverse engineer a lot of these parts. And luckily, our fleet maintenance guys have good relationships with some of the folks that used to work in Greenville that are still around. They don't work for Proterra Phoenix anymore, but they're still around. And they will sometimes call our guys in the shop and say, I got a line on, you know, some battery clips or an inverter or a gearbox or whatever it might be. Are you interested? And we'll say, absolutely, yes, let's buy it. But the issue is we can't seek federal reimbursement for those sorts of transactions. But we buy them anyway because they're integral parts to keep our system running. We've also found some national suppliers that are beginning to carry some of these parts as well. So it's getting, I would say, marginally better. But we still have a long way to go before the parts situation is taken care of.
So from the tone of your voice, it appears that you're not optimistic that this is going to get resolved in our lifetime.
Right.
And you still have a bus system to operate.
We do.
And you're down now to 3 buses, which means you've had to change your routes.
That's right.
Ugh. Ugh.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was a tough decision that we had to make to do the major service changes, eliminating one route and combining 2 others, so going from 4 routes to 2. It was not a decision that was made lightly, but we felt like it was the only decision we could make to bring the reliability back to where it needed to be for folks to be able to count on my ride to be there when they needed it. So we went through this process. Basically, what we did was eliminate the downtown route. It was our least used route, had been since day one. Only 10% of our ridership was on the downtown route. And then we combined routes 3 and 4. So the Cherry Road route and the Dave Lyle route, we combined. So now that's one giant loop, and then route 2, the Saluda Heckle loop as well. And we've seen just, and that those changes went into effect just a week ago, and already we're seeing, you know, great ridership. Route 2 ridership did not fall off any, stayed right where it was. And our combined Route 3 and 4, which we're calling Route 5, now the Cherry Road, Dave Lyle Loop, has a little bit less than the combined ridership of the old two routes. So folks are getting used to it. They will, and the ridership will grow.
But as you pointed out, this thing called Headway, that obviously is not 1 hour anymore.
It is. It still is 1 hour.
You're still pulling out? Ooh, good for you.
Yeah, so what, now instead of the bus going up and back on Cherry Road, it goes down Cherry Road, turns right, goes through Riverwalk, comes back out, goes down Sell River, turns right, and comes back into town, into downtown on Dave Lyle Boulevard. And that's a one-hour loop.
All right, so long-term, are you looking for another electric bus company to work with? What are you doing?
I would say we are interested in technology that is more tried and true, that is more proven than electric. There are still electric manufacturers out there, but we are trying to figure out what is the best thing to do for MyRide's future. Two issues there. One is the lead time for orders. If we were to place an order for a new bus today, it would not be delivered to us for 18 to 24 months.
Oh, my God.
So the lead times are pretty long. So that's one reason that we went ahead and made these route adjustments, was because of that long lead time. And then the other thing that kind of clouds the future of all of this is the remaining federal interest in our Proterra vehicles. Because they were 85% paid for by the federal government, they retain that interest, and you know, it gets depreciated every year. If we were to park all of those Proterra vehicles today, we would owe the federal government $4 million, actually a little over $4 million, to repay them their interest in those vehicles. So we are working with the Federal Transit Administration to get them to grant us a waiver, because basically FTA says those buses ought to last for 12 years. Nobody in the country is going to have those buses last for 12 years. We'll be lucky if they last for six. Yeah. So we're trying to get them to forgive that federal interest.
So we've got about a minute and a half left in the show.
Sure.
What happened? Can you take this Proterra bus with all your great wizards down there in the operations center and convert them, let's say, to natural gas?
You know, that's an interesting question, and I'm going to say the cost of doing that would far outweigh the benefit to us, because there's no hoses, tubes, tanks, those sorts of things on those vehicles. You know, they were specifically made from the ground up to be electric buses. There are other manufacturers that took CNG or diesel buses and said, let's take all of that stuff out and put a battery in. Maybe that would be more conducive to that sort of conversion that you're talking about. But these Proterra vehicles were built from the ground up to be electric, and so that would just probably be not feasible for us to do. But a great idea. I'll take that back to our guys.
So you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place on this thing. You got to keep these electric buses going.
Yep.
So you don't have to pay the federal government $4 million. Does that mean you would give consideration to a gasoline-powered bus?
We're looking at clean diesel, what they call clean diesel, or CNG. Those, I think, are the two that compress natural gas vehicles. Those are the two that we are most interested in right now, because while they're not zero emission, they are clean emissions. And so we want to continue to keep MyRide as clean as possible.
Well, Jeremy, you've done a great job summarizing a very difficult problem in a matter of 30 minutes. But appreciate you being there, and be interesting to see what the final solution on all this is.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, and that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Okay, the lugheads are here. We got the crew. We're all ready to go. Now the doc has eaten his chips. Let's wait a second so he can swallow those. All right, at the count of three, what do we do here at Substation 2? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.